Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. Without further ado, I want to announce our and welcome our missionary, Sarah. I've known her as Sarah Craigie for so many years. She's been on the mission field. God bless her with an awesome man of God, Daniel, husband, and they've got five kids. Four. Let me slow down. Four kids. And man, I've known Sarah for years, and I was in youth ministry. It's always been a highlight to watch you work with Steve Lehman and lead worship. You've always had a heart for God and for missions, and so it's an awesome privilege to have you here with us today, impacting people at and the colleges. How many believe that we need revival on our college campuses? We've seen what happened with Asbury. Lord, let it flow again this year. Let it hit all of our schools. Amen. So come on, help me welcome Sarah up here, Sarah Jackson. And Daniel, if you guys both want to come, however you want. However you want. Come on, let's show them some love today.
Good morning, church. How are we doing? God is good. I'm going to invite my husband Daniel to come up too. He is a gift from the Lord. Can you thank the Lord for my husband? God knew I needed some help. He blessed me with an awesome man of God. So I've been at Eastern Michigan for, oh golly, I started as a student in, 97. And I took the long path, and God, by his grace, called me to continue and to take over those who had led me, Stephen Belkis Lehman, and to step into a role of directing and leading students as the lead missionary there back in 2006. And before I share some testimonies, which I want to share, I also want you to have the opportunity. I think several of you have known me for a long time, maybe haven't heard fully what we do together and what God has put. My husband's going after some incredible vision for 20 years, and God has just been making some beautiful things happen. So I wanted him to share real quick about his ministry too.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's an honor to be here today. Isn't God good? Yes. Come on, we serve a good God who's in a good mood, and he's doing good things.
Amen.
And I just want to say the destiny of our communities are not in the hands of some unsaved politician. They're in the hands of the church. We are a powerful people, and with God, all things are possible. And it's not just a nice idea for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. It is the will of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
A while back, God had been moving on my heart, and he began to give me vision for cities and for communities and for regions. And there was a prophetic word that went out that there would be these teams that would take whole regions for Jesus. And I responded to that, and I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Hallelujah. And that's been the catalyst for the missions work that we're doing in America and in different places around the world as well. But we've been focusing here in America. We've been targeting the most violent cities of America. At the time when we got started, we were in Detroit, and Detroit had some of the four of the most violent neighborhoods in all of America. And God began to bring the churches together. And we began to go to those hot spots. We began to go to the darkest place within our community, because it's there where the light shines the brightest. Amen. Come on, it's time to take back what the enemy stole from us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's given us the land. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's been our journey. And then we moved to Chicago, and we were able to mobilize a few hundred churches. We partnered with law enforcement, and we targeted, again, the most violent hot spots in Chicago. And we just ascended on Chicago there on the south side in Inglewood. And again, hundreds of churches, and we began to see 24/7 worship and prayer and 24/7 evangelism and outreach begin to be established. That means day and night, we had people out in the community preaching the gospel, ministering to the lost day and night, boots on the ground 24/7, backed up by worship, continuous live worship and prayer going on. It's a powerful combination, the prayer movement mixed with the missions movement, because there's really just one movement. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's bringing it together. So we are focusing here in Washtenaw County, and we are targeting our area and our region, and God is already beginning to mobilize in a powerful way, and we're excited to see what all God will do here in our area, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Love you, honey. Amen. Amen. I told you I married up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. So, we had took time over COVID, quite honestly, to regroup. Daniel had, just doors were opening, and it was so powerful, and it was in Detroit, and it was in Chicago, and then COVID pops down, you know? And in that season, we had just had three children. They were little, you know, at that point, our daughter was 2 and our boys were 4. And we began to process, if we go at this pace, it's going to be unsustainable. And so, Lord, how do we do this? Because we believe that God is calling the college students to be raised up to see everywhere they go as an influence for the kingdom of God. But the challenge has been when we send them away from the university, they tend to go back to where they came from, and the atmosphere and the attitudes and the motivations of where they came from can begin to cloud the vision and the things that God had been speaking to them. So we said, Lord, we need help. So that where they're going, they're motivated into what you're calling them to do. And so we said, God, we need better strategy. We need more wisdom. And so we felt like God is doing this partnership in marriage, in our marriage and in our ministry, that what God is doing on the campus is also being followed up as they're seeing what God's doing in our communities, that they can say it's a hand in glove. It's the same thing. What God was doing here while you were in class, while you were with your friends, while you were with your roommates, God wants to do when you move into your house with your neighbors and with the places that you work and the places that you have influence. It's the same call. It's the same work. And we want to be a part of supporting that. So we're just excited. We're rebirthing, relaunching a lot of stuff. I'm new in the pioneering space. I'll just be honest with you. I came in and the layman set me up really well, and I was able to run with community, and now we're building community. And so God's pulling new things out of me, and I'm like, oh, here we go, Jesus. But it's beautiful, and I'll share a little bit about that. I want to, for those who don't know, I just want to quickly share my testimony and why campus ministry is so powerful, and thank you for your investment. People here in this room were with me when I was a squirrely head in 1990. Coming to Eastern Michigan. The bands are here, and Matt was my brother's really good friend. They were like best friends in college. He came to my house when I was in high school. And so when I get to Eastern, you know, I'm like the little one, you know, little Craigie. And then they saw what God was doing in my heart. But my freshman year at Eastern was a big jump for me. I came from a very warm and connected and protected Christian environment. And so when I stepped foot onto Eastern's campus, it was a whole new world for me, seeing different things that I hadn't seen. When I stepped there, my roommate was into Wiccan. I didn't know what that was, but I was reading her books, you know, and I started, you do that whole thing when you like get to your college dorm and then your roommate's not there. You kind of check them out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Not that you're being over-nosed, but you're like, who am I going to be with for the next semester, you know? And so it's just a new space for me, you know? It was supposedly the honors dorm, but it was all in transition. And so my suite mate was open in her LGBT lifestyle. Across the hall was a gal that was on drug probation because she got in some trouble with the university, so she couldn't have a roommate. And then across from her was another gal that was really open because our floors were guy-girl. And she was always on the guy floor, and so there were challenges that she was facing, and it was just a lot. And then the swim team was at the end, and they were all struggling with alcohol. And so I was just kind of like, where am I? You know, it was like protected. Well, you know, and for some, you know, and I get it. Well, sometimes we get scared for our kids, and we're like, I don't want them to experience those things. But I got to tell you, we need to grow our kids so that they can face and not be afraid of what the enemy tries to steal. We have to empower our kids that they know who they are in Christ, and they're not afraid of the stuff that the enemy tries to throw. And they know that whatever goes going on, that God loves these ones here. And that was a journey for me, because we would talk about things, but I hadn't walked it out, right? So it was like, here I am next to people who are doing different things, and the laymans and people like Christina Bann are like, hey, Sarah, let's go love on these people. Let's go talk to these people, you know? And I'm like, whoa, out of my comfort zone. But God was challenging me to grow my heart to love people. Because you can get afraid of people because they look different than you, they do things different than you, but God sees each heart and he died for each person because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish. His desire that we would not perish, but that we would come into everlasting life. And so he's calling us, his kids, to have the same heart, that we would look at those around us and say, God died for you too. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go that direction. He has a better purpose for your life. But we have to have an open heart to come alongside and to see them the way Jesus sees them. So it's been a work in progress, Dad, still working on my heart, but I'm so thankful. And it was my second semester of my freshman year where a gal knocked on my door at 8 a.m. and this was a transformational moment for me. And she looked at me and I was like, you know, why are you knocking on my door at 8 a.m. on a Saturday? Like, you don't do that in college. So anyway, she's like, Sarah, I don't know what to do. She was the gal on drug probation. And she said, one of the gals from the swim team came down. She's overdosed on my drugs and she's in my room. And if I tell anybody, I'm going to get kicked out of school. And I was like, oh, shoot. And so the words came out of my mouth. I can pray. Now, mind you, even though I was walking with Chi Alpha, I hadn't learned how to walk my faith out publicly. And so when I said, I can pray, I was like, I can? And she looked at me like, that's all you got, you know? And I was like, I don't know what else to give you. And so over to this room we went, and I had never seen that kind of a scenario where someone was trouble breathing, their face was ashen, their lips were purple, like things were not good. And I just thank God for godly parents who taught me how to pray. And so I prayed that God would heal her. I pleaded the blood of Jesus over her life. And God was so gracious. In like 3 to 5 minutes, she began to puke up. What I found out was she had overdosed on like 2/3 of a bonus size bottle of Aleve in like 3 hours. And God just cleaned her system out and just cleansed her. And yeah, thank God. She's alive today. Thank you, Jesus. And so I wish I could say like revival broke out. That wasn't what happened. But God did a revival in my own heart and said, Sarah, stop hiding your light. You're afraid of this place, but I've called you to be a light in this place because people here need Jesus. And that's been a catalyst for the growing that God has done in my heart to see college students find their faith, find their roots, find their heart in Christ, because he has a plan and a purpose for us, because there are people all around us who need Jesus. And this generation is broken and hurting and needing friendship and needing community and needing care. They need to know that God is over them, that they can trust him. They need faith renewed in their heart, and that takes people to come alongside. And so I'm just here to encourage and to infuse the gospel and the good news of Jesus, and he's doing a work. So I want to just show a quick video as a thank you to you guys. They say, thank you for sending Sarah Jackson, but let me just say thank you for Jesus' work in their life, because what God has done, you'll see, these are the now who have been sent out, and God's using them around the world. So if we can play that video real quick.
Thank you so much for your faithful investment over the past 13 years. Because you sent me to Eastern Michigan University, hundreds of students' lives have been changed. Some of them wanted to join me and take a moment to say thank you.
I want to thank you for supporting the Jackson family. That ministry really prepared me for overseas work, and I believe it's a worthy investment.
Because you sent Sarah Jackson to EMU, I found a deeper connection with God, and it changed my life.
Thank you for taking the time to pour into me so that now I can pour into others.
Hello, thank you for supporting and believing Sarah Jackson. I was one of the students who comes to know Jesus through them.
Because you sent the Jackson family to Eastern Michigan University, I have come to know the Lord in a way that affects my everyday life.
I was an international student athlete, and God used that ministry to care for me while I was away from home.
Because you've invested in Pastor Sarah and campus ministry, I am leading others and touching lives across campus and the community.
I really appreciated a campus ministry where I could experience people from diverse cultures and backgrounds coming together.
Thank you so much for blessing and sending Pastor Sarah. She's been an awesome inspiration and an influence in my life.
Thanks to this campus ministry, I've been able to grow in my gifts and talents. Thank you so much for supporting it.
I met Jesus because of campus ministry at EMU. I didn't grow up believing in God, but I'm so thankful. I now know him.
EMU's campus ministry is like my home away from home. I'm so thankful for it, and I'm just so thankful for you guys, and want to thank you guys for supporting us and making it possible.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful. So we're rebuilding some things. We're reestablishing community right now. God's given us relationship with students from a lot of different nations. We're just thankful for. I was able to sit down. It's Ramadan, for those who may not know, for those who are Muslim. And I was able to sit down with just a student this last week and chat with her. And through that conversation, as I asked her questions, how is the season for you? You know, what's your heart in this? She was able to hear for the first time the gospel message, which she had not understood before. She thought she knew. And then we began to talk about the differences between what it looked like for God, our Father, to love us so much that he would take the price for our sins because we could never earn it. And we can have confidence that he's gone before us. And she had never heard a message like that. And so we exchanged numbers and, you know, we just, the gospel works. And these are conversations that can't happen if we're not there having them. So God bless you. Thank you. I want to just take some time. I felt like the overarching call of what I wanted to encourage us this morning is that because he can, I can. Would you turn to your neighbor and say that? Say, because he can, I can. Turn to your other neighbor and say, because he can, I can. Turn around, talk to the person behind you now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because he can, I can. I want you to get that. Say it with me. Because he can, I can. Now, there's a place in Christ where we're like, I can't do anything. And that is absolutely true, because apart from him, I can do nothing. There is a part that only God, for our entire salvation walk, it's because of what he did. He's the one that sent his son. He's the one that paid for our sins. He's the one that gives us the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does transformational work in our lives. He's the one that heals our broken hearts. He's the one that restores the things that have been stolen. He's the one who does this work. I can't do that. He does that. And the moment I begin to take my eyes off of him and I try, I lose it all because I recognize I can't. And he draws me back to him and I realize, God, it's you. You can. You're the one that's always been the one to do it. And you're the one that's going to continue to make this possible because you can. I can. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. And then there's this place in Christ when you get that confidence and that foundation, you recognize because he can, I can. And it's no longer the, I can't do anything, but God, you can. No, it's I can because he can. And there's this attitude of faith that rises up inside of you that says, because he can, I can. Now, Sarah, you're getting like too much on this phrase, because I want it in your heart. By the time you leave today, I want you to have a confidence inside of you that the God that you serve, that the spirit that is inside of you, that he is the one who empowers you to do something that is greater than what you could ever ask or think or imagine, because he's going to get the glory through your life. And I want to encourage you today. I know you guys have been looking at this verse in John. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it to you if you don't know. But we've been looking at this verse in John for the missions. And it says this in John chapter 20. Do you have your Bibles today? Would you like to turn there with me? You can. Hallelujah. It's in John chapter 20. Help me, Pastor. I have it right. Right? Verse 21 and 22. Amen. Amen. Go there with me. This is such a powerful verse. Jesus, I said, I can. That's what he said. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, because I did it, now I'm going to breathe on you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do it. The same one who sent me, now I'm sending you. Let's read it together. It says it here in John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, he said, this is Jesus speaking, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how many of you have been raised in a space where the having missionaries around is something you grew up seeing missionaries, hearing their stories. How many of you have come up in that kind of an environment? Like, that's cool for you. Come on, don't be proud. There you go. Put those hands in the air. Amen. How many of you would say, I don't really know about missionaries. I don't know if I know any missionaries. Let me see hands there. How many of you are like, no, I'm not there. Okay, a couple of us. Awesome. Very cool. So I grew up in a church that was not connected to this denomination, but they had a heart for missions, and they had some people that would come through, and it was always those stories of like, you know, we had to eat bugs, and we were out in the dirt and living in huts, and, you know, maybe sometimes those stories, although cool to listen to, you're like, I don't know if I could ever do that, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot, you know, and you're like inspired, like, you know, and then somewhere in my teenage years, I was kind of like, maybe I could do that, you know, and you're like, could I live by myself in the woods and like bring the gospel to people, you know, and then you're like, man, I got to train for that. I want to be ready for that, you know, and you go through these different spaces of listening to missionaries and seeing what they do. And then God called me to be a missionary, and I was like, you sure you got the right person, you know? Because there's this process when you realize, like, what are you calling me into? And yet at the same time, can I tell you it was the most natural thing at the same time? Because God was saying, I want you to continue doing what I've already been teaching you to do. Here's the thing. I thank God for missionaries, but the truth is, and pastors already said it, we're all called to live on mission. We're all missionaries. Jesus said, Paul said it in 2 Corinthians, that we're Christ's ambassadors. We're to bring the kingdom of heaven here to earth. And sometimes we can look at these ones who have gone and we can idolize or you know, kind of heroicize their journey and thank God for them. And sometimes we can respond to that and saying, oh, I wish I had a calling. I wish God would use my life. And we can kind of take it in a self-deprecating kind of way. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? And sometimes in those spaces, we don't recognize that the same spirit that God put in that missionary when he called them is the same spirit that he's put inside of me, and he has a call for me too. It's a famous verse. Hopefully you know it, but it's in Jeremiah 29:11. But it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And these are plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. There is a call of God on each of our lives. And it's not something that we muster up, and I'm going to do all these great things for God, but it's this thing that God does inside of us as he begins to open our eyes to the people around us. And so I want to read real quick out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me. Paul had this crazy experience, and he began to share it with the believers that were in Corinth. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he goes, verse 13, if you're there, say, I'm there. If you need a minute, say, I need a minute. All right, I'm going to wait for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. I'm going to liken this story and this passage as I'm about to read it to, how many of you ever been in love? How many of you have been in love? I know Kavarza. All right, thank you, Lord. Do you know when you're in love, you do crazy things? You'll stay up later than you should have stayed up, and you'll still get up early when you needed to get up just because you enjoyed that moment so much. You'll make sacrifices that don't even feel like sacrifices because you're like, oh, it's for my I know, like, Daniel and I in our dating season, I was like, I don't know how to date because my life was so full. Like, we'd hang out at, like, 9, and by the time it was done, it was, like, midnight, and I'd have to get up again early. You know, and it was like, ah. But it's like, it's wonderful. Why? Because we're just happy to be together. We're just happy to be together. You just find yourself in these spaces of love. And you know what? When God ravishes our hearts, we find ourselves doing things for Jesus. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't even feel like a sacrifice because you're so thankful for the God that we serve and the love that he's overwhelmed our hearts with. I pray the love of the Father overwhelm your hearts today in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart if you don't mind. Father, right now, I pray that your love would overwhelm our hearts today. Make us crazy in love with you, Jesus, that we decrease and you increase, that what you have for us is more important, seems more amazing even than what we would have for ourselves, Father, that serving you and loving you and honoring you would be our greatest passion. Overwhelm our hearts again, Father, with your love. Overwhelm our hearts again, Father, with all that you have done and continue to do for us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And I believe out of this heart, Paul was speaking as he spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this, if it seems we are crazy, I'm reading in the New Living, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love compels us. Christ's love is compelling us into these places. Christ's love is compelling us into these arenas that he's called us into. And this is what Paul said. He said, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who received his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Oh, what a call. Paul is saying, because of the love of Jesus, because of what God has done in my life, we don't live for ourselves anymore, but we live for the one who gave himself for us. I'll abandon myself, as we sang today in that prayer. God bless that song. Man, it just compelled my heart. I found myself weeping all over again, saying, yes, God, it's for you. Why, the sacrifices, the things that we walk through, God, the pains sometimes that we have to endure, but Jesus, all what you did is nothing. It's nothing compared to what you did for us, God. Oh, we're so thankful for your love that overwhelms our hearts, Jesus. Thank you that we get to give ourselves back to you as a gift, as a gratitude, as a thank offering for all that you've done for us. You, Jesus, have loved us so much, and even in the moments where it's a sacrifice, even in the moments when it's hard, Jesus, you're more than enough. I do it because of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let a love, Father, compel us into the things that we do. And Paul is speaking. He said, we don't want to live for ourselves anymore. We want to live for him. And it says this in verse 16. And I think this is so important. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. For at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him. It says now. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs in Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. I don't know if those 9 who got saved last week are in the room, but I wanna just encourage you today. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been walking through, but this is what Jesus says. He says, I declare it all new. You're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. You're not identified anymore by what was. You're identified now by what he has done in your life. Saved you, healed you, forgiven you, and renewed you and transformed your life. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a thing here, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we look at people by what we see on the outside, and we miss seeing them for how God sees them. And that is actually what Paul's saying here. We don't look anymore from a human perspective, but we look at people the way God looks at them. But I felt like there's something here that God's been speaking to me, and he's like, and Sarah, do you know that's true for you? I no longer look at myself as the youngest in my family, insecure, not wanting to be in public, hiding behind my mom's leg, afraid to have conversations. Some of you are like, that's not Sarah. That was Sarah. And there are times, as a missionary, I got to make calls and I got to do things for finances, and oh, that insecurity rises up again, and oh my goodness, I got to process all this stuff again. Even standing up to preach, I'm like, oh, I have to preach. And then I'm up here and the anointing comes and God is good, and things happen, and I thank God for that. But Sarah, old self, needed to be made new. Recognizing that the Spirit of God empowers us. And I don't know where you are in this room, but because he can, I can. And what he's doing, and I believe God wants to encourage some of you today, that he doesn't see you the way you were. And he doesn't want you to see you the way you were. But when you came into Christ, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus covers your life. You are not the same anymore. You are made new, and you are a new creation in Jesus. The old is gone, and the new has come. Sometimes we find ourselves hiding behind what we would call our personalities. And Jesus is saying, as God sent me, as the Father sent me, I am now sending you. And because he can, I can. And sometimes we say, but I can't. Well, you know, I went through all of this stuff. I can't. Well, you know, Sarah, I'm really shy. I don't even like talking to people. I can't. And we hide behind our experiences. We hide behind our personality, if you would. And we miss the fact that we're new. I am not defined by my personality anymore. I'm defined by the Spirit of the living God that dwells inside of this vessel. And he's the one who can do greater things through me than even what Jesus did. That's what it says in John chapter 14 and 16. That greater things we will do because Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit who fills us and gives us a new life, that we are not who we were anymore, but we are now empowered by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 So let me just get this last part in here. Verse 18, it says, and all of this, it's a gift from God. Can you just say, thank you, Jesus? I didn't deserve this. You don't deserve this, but God loves us. We're his kids. It's his delight and his pleasure to bring us back to himself. Hallelujah. This is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has now given us this task of reconciling people to him. Now we could just see it as a task. Well, I got to go share Jesus today. Or we could remember what Paul is speaking from as he's being compelled. Friends, when you have an understanding that Jesus can overcome every stronghold, that there's not a devil out there that can overwhelm Jesus, that there's not a situation that's greater than him, that there's not a problem that you face that he hasn't already faced and gone before you on your behalf. If we could understand the truth that he is already there and has made a way, we will see our neighbors, we will see our family members, we will see those that we're surrounded by from a different perspective, no longer from a human perspective. Oh, my husband has to catch me all the time. I fall into panic, whatever, crazy moments. I don't know if we're doing enough for our kids. I don't know if they know Jesus. Sarah, we're trusting God with our kids. Thank you, Lord. Because we get overwhelmed from the human point of view. But God has called us up. God has called us up to see from his perspective. And when we recognize that, it's not a task. It's not a task to bring people to Jesus. It's an opportunity to love somebody with the same love the Father has loved us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's read on. It says in verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. As though God is making his appeal through us, we speak for Christ when we say, come back or be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. He is the one who does this. He throws those things aside. He did it and paid it all. Have you ever woken up after knowing you struggled with something, after knowing you disappointed God, after knowing maybe you just sinned out blatant outright, and you feel this disconnect as though I am no good, I don't belong, I haven't prayed enough, I haven't done enough? Have any of you ever felt disconnected from these kind of shameful emotions, shameful thinking that wants to bury you? It's the condemnation of the enemy trying to just keep you away from the presence of God. It is what Adam and Eve wrestled with in the garden. They were there in God's presence every day. And as soon as they sinned, they wanted to be away from the very one who had been loving them and they adored. And they wanted to be in his presence all the time. And it was this great connection. And it's immediately that sin brought this disconnect. And the truth is, when we fall short, what happens? We want to disconnect. But there's a better way. Jesus came to bring us near. God says he sent Christ to draw us back to himself. He wants us with him. And there's this wonderful thing to believe the truth of the gospel, that when he died on the cross for our sins, he died for today's sin, he died for yesterday's sin, he died for tomorrow's sin, because he's the one reconciling us. us. He's bringing us back to the Father because the Father loves us so much. And these are the things that the enemy tries to use to keep us from reconciling others to him. He tries to keep us from having the heart, because when we're down, when we're depressed, when we're feeling disconnected, who wants to say, oh yeah, I got a good God, I want to introduce him to you? We want to say, I don't even know if he likes me. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news. The good news is he already paid for it. All I have to do is receive. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. I repent. Thank you that you forgive. Thank you that you give me the Spirit of God. Thank you that you empower me to do what I don't even want to do today. I don't even know how to do today, but you're going to give me what I need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because he can, I can. And I was thinking about this today because my husband, coming into our relationship, he was like he was on the streets, evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. And I am like, I'm trying. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying. I'm more pastoral. How are you doing? Let's walk through that problem together and pray it through, you know? And he's like, this person needs Jesus. And he just brings the gospel. And every time, you know, it's like someone would get saved, you know? I'm like, thank you, Lord, you know? And yet there's a need for both, right? That we bring people into the kingdom, that we grow them in Christ. But there's a long game. And where am I going with this? I think one of the challenges we have as people who, if I can come back to my analogy, we look at missionaries and we say, oh, look at these great things they're doing for God. Look at my life. I think some of the challenges are missionaries have had to go through a process to say, what's the vision of my life? And what is it that I'm going to want to see God do? And what am I praying into? And I would say for myself, as an average just person, I'm not the person that's saying, God, what's that vision? What is that life plan that you have? Like, what is the passion you've put in my heart? And how do you want me to see the kingdom of God glorified through my life? And I want to encourage us. I believe that God, when he breathed into them his spirit, he quickened a vision inside of them, a passion that said, my life for the gospel. I'm all in for the gospel. I'm all in for what Jesus has for me. And I want to encourage us, because sometimes we find ourselves lacking vision. So we love Jesus. We honor him. And we're like, God, I'm serving you. And we're in the nuances of life. Nuances of having kids, the nuances of having a job, the nuances of just the responsibilities that we have to carry. And sometimes those responsibilities aren't thought through a lens of vision for what Jesus wants to do there. Does that make sense? So I'm in my family and I'm loving them. I'm like, oh, I want my kids to love Jesus. But have I really thought about, like, I want my home to be a home that when people come in, the presence of God is here. Okay, Lord, I'm praying into that. I'm intentionally growing my kids into a place where our home brings the presence of God. Like, when I'm at work, am I thinking, I want to see my entire business be transformed from the president, CEO, all the way down to the janitor. And I want to see this entire company know Jesus. So when I come into the workplace today, even if it's at Walmart, even if it's at McDonald's, from the manager to the janitor, even if it's at, you know, car companies, whatever your occupation might be, tradesmen, where you're going into people's homes, I want every home I'm in. I want every place I fix their electricity. I want the presence of God to be here. I want God to move through me. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He might want me to pray for somebody. Pastor shared, even through his job with Intimans, he was aware of the Holy Spirit as he's stocking at Kroger. He notices someone that goes by. What is it? It's a nudging, but it fell within his vision. His vision was, wherever I am, I want to see Jesus show up there. And because I'm there and he's in me, and because he can, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Honey, I just want to take a minute. Do you want to share for a second on that? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, hallelujah. We wanted to tag team and then we're like, oh, maybe not. Oh, maybe we should. I want it. Come on, all in for the gospel, honey. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
They say that you're supposed to be ready in season and out of season. I was hoping just to enjoy this morning. Hallelujah. God's touching and moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Can I just, while you're...
Yes.
He knows. He knows that all morning I was like, Father, I don't feel qualified. Father, I feel like my heart doesn't have the fullness of what you want to share. I'm looking at him like, I think you should just preach. I don't think, you know what I'm saying? And this is the warfare. This is me from a human perspective, not trusting that God can. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you're in, where you're at. God says he's the perfecter, the author, and the perfecter of what? Our faith. And our faith is so powerful, and he adds to our faith. But that faith is to believe that he is who he says that he is. And because he is who he says he is, I am who he says I am. And because of that, I don't have to shrink back. This is called courage, when we step into faith, even when we don't know what the results will be, because we know that we aren't qualified, but he is.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. One of the most powerful revelations that we can begin to understand is the truth of the fact that God is with us. God is with us. God is with you. Wherever you go, you are the church. The church isn't a building. It's a people. You're the temple of God. Hallelujah. So wherever you step, the Lord wants you to know he's given you that land. Right? You have a spiritual authority in that place. He's made you the head and not the tail. Come on. It's important for us to begin to see ourselves in the way the Father sees us. And it says that as he is, so are we in this world. A revelation of Jesus is a revelation of who you are. It says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, you're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And there's something that fundamentally shifts in your life when you begin to grasp and begin to understand that God is with you. Hallelujah. And that you can do what he said you can do. You know, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, now freely give. Some of us need to understand and begin to recognize that we have what he said we have. The fullness of the Godhead deity is in Christ, and Christ is in you. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. Come on now. There is a fullness inside of you, of heaven, of God, of his kingdom, of his authority, of his power, of his presence, of his wisdom. And he's opening our eyes to begin to not just see the world through his perspective, but even to begin to see ourselves in the same way that he sees us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, when Jesus called, I'm going to turn this back over. When Jesus called his disciples, he called them to forsake everything. You know, some of us, we want all things to be made new in our lives. But in order for everything to be made new, we have to be willing to let go of all things. We have to be willing to surrender all things. And that invitation to surrender all things, it's not really a sacrifice. It's an exchange of our ashes for his beauty. And there's a place when you begin to discover the kingdom. Even Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a place when you begin to taste and see that God is good. It's like you found treasure hidden in a field. It's like you found a pearl of great price that's worth everything. And their response was, my life for the gospel. Hallelujah. We get to start where Jesus said it's finished. There's this invitation into fullness.
And that's where God wants us to begin to walk. He wants us to begin to live. He wants us to begin to move, because in him we move, we live, and we have our being. Hallelujah. And when you begin to understand that God is with you, and you begin to look at your community, and you begin to, your heart begins to break because you begin to see people the way that he sees them, and you begin to have supernatural compassion. And it's that compassion, it's that love that begins to move you forward. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. When you're filled with his heart for people, you would gladly lay down your life 1,000 times. Come on, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because you've been captured with his heart. This was the very heart of Christ when they were crucifying him. He looked with compassion. He looked with empathy. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. And he gladly laid down his life. Not for us while we were at our best, but while we were at our worst. And there's a shift that's happening within, I believe, the body of Christ. There's a maturity that's taking place as we're beginning to see through his eyes. And it's changing everything. And it's what compels us to the highways and the byways. And it's what compels us to contend all night if need be, to see a move of God in our community, to see a move of God in our family. Hallelujah. And I just want to give room, maybe right now, and then I'll just turn it back over. Thank you, Jesus. To have a moment where we can respond and all over again say, God, my life for the gospel. We're called to live a life on mission in submission to the Great Commission. The vision that God has over your life, he says, look at this world. Look at these nations. I'm giving you the nations. In Corinthians, he says, all things are yours. Hallelujah. He says, this is my heart. This is my will. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have this privilege to say, here I am. Come on, Lord, send me. And so right now, I just want you to, in your own way, begin to receive grace. Hallelujah. We love him because he first loved us. It's his grace. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go ahead and put your hand over your heart. And say, Father, I receive your grace this morning in the name of Jesus. Awaken my heart to the truth of who you've created me to be as your son, as your daughter. Lord, you say all of creation is longing for the manifestation of the children of God, the sons of God to arise. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just receive that grace right now. And we say, Lord, here we are. Send us. My life for the gospel. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If the worship team could come, we're just going to open up the altars. I feel like in this area of surrender, where we lay things down so that he can make all things new, it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith to say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what you've been struggling with that you need Jesus to intervene, but I want to encourage you that he's more than enough for your situation. And maybe you've been in a season of surrender. I just want to make room to surrender again. And the other thing I'd like to invite us into today is there is something about not just saying it's a nice idea that we get to be Christ's ambassadors, but there's a decision that we come to when we say, I'm all in. And we say, I'll begin to take responsibility by the grace of God to dream and to make myself available for my family, for my neighbors, for my coworkers, for my peers, for my friends, for those who God's put in my circle of influence. And we begin to not just haphazardly be in those spaces, But we recognize that God has sent us to those spaces. The relationships, the influence, the places that God has given us is not by accident, but He put His Spirit inside of you so the Spirit of God inside of you could impact the lives around you. And there's a decision to be made to say, I'm all in. I don't know what it's going to look like, Jesus. I don't know how we're going to see change or transformation in these different people or in these different spaces, but I'm making myself available today to say, I will live my life all in for you, Jesus. I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven through me, because He can, I can. And if that's you today and you say, man, I just haven't intentionally made that decision. I want to see God move. I want to invite this. It's also a place of surrender that we would come and say, God, I'm all in. Would you use me? And ask Him to begin to fill your heart with love. As Paul said, it was crazy. If you think I'm crazy, I think we're out of our mind. It's okay, because we are, because His love is compelling us. And I want the love of the Father to overwhelm your heart for the places that He's put you in. Would you stand with me right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And again, if you are in a place where you need, you know, God's challenging you in your faith to surrender and believe that He can take care of everything and make all things new, I want you to come. And if you would, come to my right so we can minister in that way. Prayer workers, you can come and minister here at the altar. And if you're saying, I am just all over, maybe it's all over again, maybe it's for the first time, but you're saying, God, I'm giving my life all in for the gospel. Wherever you put me, I want you to use me. I'm making myself available. Like Isaiah said, here I am. Lord, send me. If that's you, would you come over on this side and just begin to seek the Father and let Him give you a heart? Come right now. People are already coming. You don't need to wait anymore. Father, we look to you, Jesus. We look to you, Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, the one who went before us, that we could watch you and see what you did in our lives. We could watch you and see what you've done in the lives around us and realize that you are the one who's able to continue to do a great work. Your desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to everlasting life. And you want to use me, Jesus. You want to use me, Jesus. Hallelujah. We say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Use me, God. Use me, God. Hallelujah.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.